Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease, fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams, so whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. It is a Wednesday here on the Zabecast, and looky, looky, we got the Matt and Git show, or the Gitter and Mueller show, or I don't know what we're calling this combination, but it's a smash hit that continues to draw rave hit, reviews. Wow. Yes, mostly Miller,
Wisco Wednesday.
Yes, Wisco Wednesdays. Mostly Miller, not really you, Gitter. Your act has been well played over the years.
Yeah, nobody liked me anyway, so what has changed?
All right, turn your mic down just a tiny bit, Gitter. You're a little bit too hot this time. It's hard to get these mics. It doesn't hurt. Take it down 2 hours worth of stuff and we should be good.
One from noon to 10 there.
And you worked in radio, you said, Gitter.
Well,
we had dials. We didn't have these little knobs.
It's not his fault.
Oh, that's completely different. Dials and knobs. I mean, totally obviously, completely different ball games.
Matt Miller, a man about film. You can read his Substack wherever you get Substack, probably at Substack.com. Type in Matt Miller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. We've got entertainment news to discuss right out of the gate, Mr. Miller.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, let's go.
So, looks like Netflix has bought Warner Brothers. Asterisk.
Well.
Asterisk.
Have they, though?
Yes. Will it stand is the question.
That is the great question, and I don't think we'll get an answer to that question for probably another year or two, because not only do you have all the regulation stuff, not only do you have the whole, you know, Netflix would own a monopoly, essentially, over streaming, and obviously you have the resistance coming from every guild in Hollywood, the writers, the producers,
the whole town
is
opposed to this.
Yeah.
Every
the mic grips. Yeah.
The key grips, the gaffers.
Yeah. Yeah, the
fluffers
grips.
Oh wait, wrong genre. Sorry.
Honestly, the fluffers might have put out a release as well.
Unionized?
They have to be.
Fluffers unionized is
the
question.
Fluffers. You gotta
Gitter, you're still too loud, by the way. You're still too loud. Back it up. Back it up. See, can you not hear matching Miller's? I don't know what it is. Might be your mic, might be your connection. It's hard to tell. Okay. All right.
The dulcet sounds of Matt Miller's voice.
All right, so here we go. So I've searched far and wide, Miller, on the interwebs for a single person of note to say about this Netflix acquisition. Yay!
It's kind of bad for every reason.
I have seen
no good thing to come from the Netflix Warner Brothers thing. And the thing that's really funny is you have Paramount now coming in, being like trying to do a hostile takeover.
Okay, hold on. So nobody is saying, yay, this is good for creative content making and movies and theater. Nobody's saying that. People are saying on the other side, though, that this is pretty much the Infinity Stone for what's the dude's name? Thanos. This is like the Infinity Stone for Thanos, that now Netflix owns everything.
Basically. Well, this is five Infinity Stones.
This is a little bit like pulling the stone out of Vision's head and popping it in, and all of a sudden Sony and Lionsgate and movie theaters.
Steve didn't see that movie.
Recap the entire movie.
I think I saw the first Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, the first MCU movie.
Iron Man.
Two
decades ago.
Okay, Miller, I don't need your smart-ass insults when I have seen a movie. You're supposed to encourage me as a man about film. Yeah, I saw that movie. Do I not get credit for it?
You get credit for Iron Man. You do. How much did you stay awake through it?
I stayed awake for the whole thing. For the 23
minutes.
For the movies that I go to see, not the animated stuff that I take my daughter to, I stay up for those. Believe it or not.
He still thinks Iron Man's in the cave. He like hasn't gotten past that part.
Pepper Potts is so hot. She's redheaded.
Should see her in Iron Man 3. She's even hotter.
Oh, man. Okay, I got to check that out. I think I saw the first Avengers. I'm pretty sure.
Don't ask me the plot. First people in the world who's like, I'm seeing Iron Man 3 for Gwyneth Paltrow. That's why I'm buying my ticket.
I mean, so she's a little sweaty at the end. So it's
so good. The downside to this is multifold and really, really dark in terms of where Netflix could go with all of this intellectual property, with all of this content, with the studio, with the distribution, everything else, the blow that it deals to what few competitors of scale are left. And I read one recap that said basically the race is to get the IP, intellectual property, on the franchises, Superman, Spider-Man, Marvel, etc.
Lord of the Rings, Wizard of Oz.
Right, and then once AI video generation becomes quick and seamless and damn near perfect, you just crank the AI movies out all day, every day.
I pump the brakes on the AI because there is no real there's no real audience proof of concept that that's what people want. The tech people do, and like the head honchos like it, but there's no proof that there is an audience for an AI thing.
What if I told you I've got the proof sitting right here in the release window we're staring at as we speak? Avatar.
Oh, no.
Avatar is the same schlocky shit. It's like the first primitive AI. It's shitty computer animation. And I know I say this gently because you liked The Way of Water. I remember you
Way of Water, really good movie. Yeah. And the thing is, like, that is crafted by people. Yes, computers are the tool, but people created that. Whereas the AI stuff is just like, I put in inserts, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop. Now I have slop. And I'm not telling people they have to like Avatar, but it is a very different thing. And there's especially in the case of Avatar, which is very clearly a James Cameron thing. That is distinctly, as shiny and as fancy as look, his thumbprints are distinctly on that movie. And that's what makes it kind of special. That's what makes a lot of these things special. AI doesn't have that. I mean, you see they're trying to do AI ads. And every time they do, audiences are like, this is gross. This is weird. These Coke commercials give me the ick.
There's a Christmas ad out right now that is AI. Have you seen it?
Yeah, the Coca-Cola one.
Yes.
And there's a McDonald's one, and McDonald's had to take it down after 24 hours because everyone was like,
McDonald's took theirs down?
Yeah, or at least I think they made it private or something like that. But people don't want, and this is for advertisements. This is for something that we know and accept a certain level of schlock. We accept a certain level of slop. Of course.
It's the most terrible time of the year. All the shots turn to mayhem. Even Santa knows space, and the tree redecorated your place. It's the most terrible time of the year. The roast turns to chunk.
You know, I've seen worse.
Wow.
I've seen worse than this, Miller. I don't know what's so bad about this ad.
This looks like Brazil. This looks like a sci-fi apocalypse to me. I don't like looking at it.
Okay. So you want them to actually stage all this and film all this and spend millions and millions and millions of dollars?
Oh, yeah. Is poor McDonald's not able to afford a few shots? Are they not able to afford a green screen? Oh, will poor mom and pop McDonald's survive? What are we talking about here?
Oh, God.
But to go back to the kind of the original, like the Netflix of it all, this is apocalyptic, especially if you like going to movie theaters, because Netflix has spent the last 10 years of existence being like, we hate movie theaters. They are our competition. We don't want to work with them. We don't think they're useful to us. They are a hindrance to everybody. We want them to go away. And now they will be in control of a studio that put out some of the biggest movies of the last year, that has some of the biggest movies of all time, in a time when movie theaters already do not have enough major movies coming out. Like, that is the big issue with their economy right now, is studios have made about 30% fewer movies since the pandemic. They've just stopped making a lot, and the stuff that they do put out in theaters is oftentimes either giant movies or movies that no one is even doing any marketing for, say, for instance, the Sydney Sweeney movie. So when, and then Netflix right now is trying to be like, oh no, we will respect the theatrical commitments Warner Brothers has made. And oh, we will definitely put movies in theaters. And they couldn't even put up that facade for a day before Ted Sarandos Thanos was like, yeah, but we're going to shrink the window down even shorter. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, like, as soon as we get a chance, these things are coming to Netflix. So you might as well not even go to a movie theater. Like, they can't even pretend that they care about this. And this isn't even including the physical media side of these things. If you like owning a movie on DVD and not having to check whether or not something's gone off a streaming service, Netflix does not do physical copies of their stuff, and now they are going to be in charge of a massive library of movies. If you want to see The Wizard of Oz on the big screen, like, ever again, they're not going to release that out. Harry Potter back on the big screen, they're not going to lease that out. Why would they do that when they could just be like, yeah, get on Netflix, watch from home. Wow. And then when you're done watching Harry Potter, watch Stranger Things.
It's grim. Get her, it's grim.
It's grim.
So we're not going to get the cool red and white envelopes in the mail anymore, is what you're saying, if we really want to watch?
Eric, if you're still getting the red and white envelopes in the mail, you have been hacked by a scammer, a very sophisticated phishing service, and you should look into that.
Do you know that once upon a time, Miller, Blockbuster was offered Netflix for $50 million? Oh. And they said, yeah.
Whoops.
Nah. Now, wow, Netflix,
great
now
fumbles.
Now Netflix is the one buying Warner Brothers for $70 billion in cash.
And that price will probably go up with Paramount being, as I mentioned earlier, they're trying to do a hostile takeover.
Right.
I don't know if that'll work, because there's a lot of Saudi money being put into that.
Yep,
offer.
I read that as well.
And if there's one thing that unites a lot of people on all sides of the aisle,
Saudi
aisles,
money
it's, you
being
know,
opposite the old Saudi money.
Yeah. And, you know, there's that and the fact that Paramount wants to buy not just the movie studio, but wants to buy all the cable channels, which adds in a whole nother level of regulatory nightmares going on.
Although I think they want to spin those cable channels off because they're really not making much money.
That's what Warner Brothers wants to do.
Oh, okay.
Warner Brothers wants to spin off the cable stuff into its own thing and then have
just Warner Brothers. Just let it die. They pretty much want to take the cable networks and they want to leave them out in the woods with a blanket, like the guy who was dying of the illness in Deadwood, like in season one. You guys ever watch Deadwood? The plague hit the camp in Deadwood. So when somebody had the plague and you didn't want them to infect the rest of the town, what did they do? Because they had no cure for it. They wrapped the guy
in the woods to him.
They literally wrapped the guy in a blanket, dragged him out of the woods, gave him a bottle of whiskey, and said, good luck. He survived,
just TNT and TBS led out into nature.
he survived, though, and came back pretty pissed off to the camp and I think shot somebody. But don't quote me on that.
Valuable lesson to Warner Brothers. Yes, and I mean, indeed. That is HBO. So if anyone should know about the dangers of this, I mean, who knows? Maybe HBO comes raging back in several years. All right. Murders Netflix, murders Warner Brothers.
So if that wasn't bad enough for you, Mr. Miller, that your beloved industry, filmmaking, is facing this existential Thanosian threat.
Yeah.
Notre Dame gets left out of the college football playoff, and you are married to an actual bona fide, not a Subway alum, a real alum of Notre Dame.
Yes, a genuine diploma. I made the great, so much of a Notre Dame fan that she stayed up to watch the end of the Duke Virginia game, knowing the stakes.
Knowing full well the fuckery that was afoot.
Knowing that was the full chaos. That was the chaos.
Full chaos. And activated. She must have lost her mind when the Virginia receiver went out of bounds, came back in bounds, caught the pass. And you're like, is that legal? I guess it is. Touchdown.
I was like, well, is he allowed to do that? And she was like, shut your whore mouth, man. Like, that's go Virginia. Like, she couldn't have been happier about that touchdown. And then as soon as the interception happens, no, she called me.
Oh, she did. Okay, good.
She told me to shut my whore mouth. Right.
So I assume she has not taken it well since the snub.
As soon as the interception happened to lock up the Duke win, I seemingly jokingly told my wife, get pumped for the Citrus Bowl. And she looked at me with such disdain. It was truly a divorce face.
Searing
contempt.
And she said, not funny, and like rolled over and went to bed. And I was like, I'm going to have to make breakfast tomorrow. This is going to have to be amended.
All right. Well, I'm going to add to the stream right now a guy whose wife probably would have taken a swing at you if you were in the room and said that, because she loves the Irish and has come to love college football because her two sons went to Notre Dame. Chris Broussard joins us now. Chris runs this podcast.
Look at that.
Look at that.
And here he is. Chris and I have been on the verge of a business breakup with the intensity of our text jabs back and forth. Me calling the Irish pussies, him calling me woefully ill-informed. And I'm like, we need to woefully wrong, not ill-informed, but wrong. And so I've had to dial it down because I like Chris a lot personally, and he's crucial to the overall endeavor.
Yeah.
But he's pissed off about this. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right.
You're like, yeah, I'm all right.
It's a sweet pullover, though.
Okay.
That.
Yeah,
that's the weird new leprechaun new they've been working leprechaun. Out.
They came out with the basketball one today.
Okay. So your big takeaway, my big takeaway was, okay, it was your turn, Notre Dame, to take one for the team. You know, you did. Fucking be big boys about it. Send a team. Doesn't have to be every player that's going to play. Julian Sain wants to get ready for the NFL. Fine. Send the fucking
wrong
gold
team,
helmets.
But can carry on.
Not Julian saying, Julian Love.
Jeremiah Love.
Jeremiah Love, sorry. Julian, Jeremiah, Jingle Jangerlheimer Schmidt.
Saying Love, basically the same word.
The point is, send the gold helmets, send your leprechaun, send the band, put on a fucking smile.
Dance monkeys for the man. Okay.
Which dance, you damn right, dance for the man. Because there's 74 schools dancing for the man, and there's about a dozen who said no. You're the most high profile of them, and you dance for the man in 22 and 23, which you say, well, everything's different now. The floor is yours.
Well, yeah, everything's different. I mean, I mean, the whole thing is a sham. So why would they continue the sham? And why would they go down there with a shell of the team? There were 16 players who said they weren't going to go.
Okay.
So so they're going to go down there and play in a game that all of the ESPN analysts who were all on the bandwagon about keeping them out are all, that's all they're going to talk about for 3 hours.
Wow. Don't you care about the prestige and the honor of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, though? Don't you care?
It's the hottest bowl about going.
The meaning of a Pop-Tart Bowl.
Athletes. This is a professional sport. Do the NFL players go play after they don't make the playoffs? Is it an exhibition game? Should we send the Commanders and
should
play in an exhibition game in December or January after they don't make the playoffs? What about the NIT? Why is it suddenly you have to go play in this bullshit game?
Okay, so should all P4 schools do the same?
No. I mean, Pete Bakalova said today they would play in a future game. The issue is they were fucked at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yes, they were.
1:10, are you going to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl? What would you do?
So you're saying, so Bavakwa said they'll play in future meaningless bowl games?
Depending on the team and where their structure is, they played in the past. Right. They've done it in the past. They were set up. This is a TV show that ESPN set up for 6 weeks, and they were set up as the plot twist at the last minute, and they're not going to dance for the man.
Wow. You were set up as the plot twist, but even you saw the plot twist coming like it was a Three's Company episode. It wasn't hidden. So what's the problem? You're like, I hate the argument of we should have been ranked behind Miami then 3 weeks ago. What does it fucking matter?
6 weeks ago.
So what?
6 weeks ago, they were ranked 10th. They were 6-2, both teams.
Yeah.
Their team was 10th.
I know.
Miami was 18th. What happened between them? They played three of the same teams.
Okay.
And the 18th seed decided to go on a PR campaign. They put Notre Dame at 10:30 on Saturday night. They put Alabama on. They played a terrible game against Auburn, and they flipped them. That's when you knew the fuckery was on.
Okay. So you're saying that they should have flipped them 6 weeks ago. And then you would be fine now? All that would have done was it would have given you and the other domers 6 more weeks to bitch is what it would have done.
No, I don't think that's true, Zay. If you talk to a lot of Notre Dame people, their thing is like there is a logic to Miami getting in over Notre Dame. 100%. The idea that over a week when neither team did anything. And that over the course of these weeks, the only thing that happened was Notre Dame clobbered their opponents and Miami did well. And somehow Notre Dame is getting punished for this at the last minute.
It's terrible.
What is the point of this whole process here? And the argument is, well, BYU was between you. First of all, why does what BYU does mean anything to this game? A team that neither Notre Dame or Miami played. And second of all, they put BYU there. They make it sound like it was like, the rankings appeared and BYU was there, so we had no reason to compare Miami and Notre Dame. No, you put them there. And then you also had Alabama in the middle. You put there. Alabama looks like dog shine these last few weeks, but you're like, they beat an SEC team where it just matters more, and they lost by 21, which is in one game.
To the same SEC team.
To a different SEC team.
I agree. I agree that Alabama does not belong on merits this year. I know what happened. They hooked Alabama up because of last year. And that's dirty and that's wrong. Yeah. So it should be Notre Dame instead of Alabama. But the worst sequence of outcomes, Broussard, happened to allow two skunks in, including your beloved JMU Dukes, your actual alma mater. How about that for a plot twist, Gitter? Did you know that CB went to JMU?
It's got to be such a mix of emotions.
So you going to Oregon next week there, CB?
I made the overture. I said, let's take the Zabe cast out there. And he was like, it's too far. We're going to get killed.
You know, game day's been there twice. Zabe cast doesn't need to.
Plus flights and hotels.
Yeah.
It'll be early. Yeah. Yeah. Be
very pre-Christmas. You got time.
Okay.
Yeah. This whole thing, it's just annoying because this is truly a case of a fair result found in the most unfair way possible. And if you're Notre Dame and ESPN has been, and this has been ESPN, and this whole process has been unfair, then what's the point? Then why play the Pop-Tarts Bowl? This is not the Rose Bowl. This is not a prestige game. This was the Insight.com Bowl 20 years ago. This is a bowl game where most people care about whether or not the mascot's going to die. Why should Notre Dame put a team out there?
I'll tell you why to play it, okay? Because even if you're missing 15 guys, your shiny helmets will be out there. You will be a product on the shelves for people to consume. And it's a gig. Play the gig. They pay you to go play the bowl. Okay?
No, so you're saying Notre Dame needs the exposure of the Pop-Tarts Bowl? Yeah. They don't need the exposure.
I'm not saying they need it, Getter. I'm saying take it. Do what everyone else does. They don't need it. So,
what if Jeremiah Love blows his knee out in this game? What if a guy wrecks his, like, what is the point?
Broussard, he's not playing, right? Love?
No.
He would not have been playing.
It's in the player's hands. The players, we don't want to go. Now, they played more games last year than every other school, except for Ohio State. So they didn't finish that game. I know a guy that played on that team. He was said that was a brutal experience. He barely got ready for the draft. And that experience, they played into this. And they were like, no, we're done.
Guys skipping bowls has been a thing forever. My point is programs send their helmets and their uniforms and their band and their mascot because they are participants in this charade. And you want to call it a charade, which I don't disagree with, but you were full participants as long as you got in to the playoffs. So you opted into the charade until, oh, wait a minute, you don't have a seat, and now you're just going to say, it's a charade, harumph, fold my arms and walk away.
The Notre Dame perspective is, and this there's nobody that has said anything differently from the university. They lost the first two games. At that point, their fate was put into the hands of the committee. That is what they've said. The committee comes back and says, at the point that they're 6-2, you're number 10. Okay. They move up to number 9. They keep winning. They put massive beatdowns on every single team. And at the last second, they go, oh, I'm sorry. This whole thing is a sham. ESPN told us we need Alabama in. Paul Feinbaum said we need Alabama in. That is literally the point. At some point, you have to stand for something or you fall for everything.
Okay. So you're taking a righteous stand. You're taking a righteous stand. You're going to punish ESPN, some people believe, by hurting them in the pocketbook. And I'm like, I'd run the math on that. The ESPN owns.
Yeah, how does that hurt ESPN?
They own the whole kit and caboodle. They own every bowl game, the playoffs.
Why help them? But why help them and why help the ACC?
Okay, so you're taking
Georgia Tech. They'll go get all the Pop-Tarts they want, even though it doesn't have as much frosting as it used to.
Okay, we're finally.
They'll have a good time.
We're finally getting some agreement. We understand it's not going to hurt ESPN. Understand you're making a point by not playing, by not sending your helmets and the leprechaun and the uniforms and whoever might be in them. And then on top of that, you should admit this: your stance will not affect change. That if change is to come, it'll be for larger reasons. Your protest will not be the brick that knocks down the wall.
It's not a protest.
I think inadvertently it will.
Admitted and I think it was a protest, sir.
We need to admit the fact that, and I'm saying this, somebody who stayed up to watch the Hawaii Bowl and the GMAC Bowl and the MPC Computers Bowl, the bowl era is done.
No, it's not.
The bowls are a waste of everybody's time for ESPN.
Yes, they are a waste of time.
And there's no reason to keep doing this.
They will keep doing them. Did you see Joel Klatt says he believes the bowls will end up being the first games of the year in the future?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense because if we're going to expand the playoff, and if there's one thing we've learned from all of this, it's they're going to expand the playoff. Okay. There's no reason to have these bowl games at the end of the season when coaches are gone, when players are getting into the portal, when you have a case like Notre Dame this season where it's like, okay, ESPN and the playoff committee punch them in the dick. So they're like, yeah, we don't want to play this game. We don't. We were flirting with somebody and they told us we were the one. And then they said, no, I'm actually going to date your hated rival. But also, could you go to this fundraiser for me and host it? Notre Dame's the bad guys for not wanting to participate in this.
That's an exaggeration right there. But OK.
Essentially, that's what happened.
You're not going and hosting a fundraiser. You're just playing another football game. Which,
who has to pay for the tickets for people to attend this thing?
Well, that is true. That is true.
So you have to, Notre Dame, and so you had to fill out a survey. You had to opt in. Do you want tickets to the bowl game?
That is true. And a lot of schools end up
in there. How many of their season ticket holders have said, we want tickets to the bowl game? Notre Dame has to buy those tickets and then resell them to the season.
I know that's also,
this wasn't a case like Notre Dame didn't agree to a bowl game and then say like, no, never mind, we don't want to go. That'd be a dick move. That would be crappy to be like, Pop-Tarts Bowl, you've got Notre Dame, congrats. And then was like 3 days later, like, oh, actually we feel bad. No, we're
okay.
We've reneged.
I know. Reneged.
Just Frenchified that. Oh my God.
But Notre Dame has broke new ground, which probably will be repeated, that they're the first top 20 team to say no to a bowl. That's a new ground. So you're the first. So there could be more to come. Here's why the bowl
season.
We're
a leader, not a follower.
That's right. If you were in the Big Ten, they have the leaders division and the lakes division. Right, Gitter?
A blow to the bucked up L.A. bowl.
Actually, they don't even have those divisions anymore, which is another problem altogether.
Correct.
So the reason the bowl system, while it is not in its heyday at the moment, it's you can't kill it because these are Yule logs for television during the holidays. And so even though they are less relevant than ever, and they have dumber sponsors than ever, although Pop-Tarts are a great sponsor, by the way, they are necessary at this time of year to put something, anything on fucking TV other than Lehigh versus Canisius in men's basketball. Okay, it's a football game you can have a pool on, you can bet on, you turn it on TV, you talk to your father-in-law who you fucking hate because at least there's football on. That's why they're not going to go away. They're not on their last thread. If it is their last thread, it's like that last tendon that you can't cut through when you're field cleaning a deer or something like that. You're like, how come I can't get this last thing to go through?
A lot of experience field cleaning a deer, Steve.
I know. But, you know, I'm just trying to use an example. It may be hanging by a thread, but it's the hardest thread to cut, and it's going to be very stubborn because this is a TV exercise, putting all these schools in silly games, the Poulan weed eater, far-flung places. That's going to go on. Can we just conclude by saying, what is your preferred playoff format size and entry requirements? Broussard, you're going to be first on this. Just tell me what you would like to see.
I think 12 teams is perfect. I think 16 is too many. I don't have any problem with the format.
Well, you're going to have
a problem with the charade and how this whole thing played out.
Okay, so you'd keep everything the same, including the designated seat for the P6 people, P5 people, whatever they call them, group of five, not P5.
I don't have a problem with the conferences. I think the problem is the conferences have rigged this to the point where they don't actually put together, and the ACC was exposed by this, by playing unbalanced schedule, that they aren't actually crowning a conference champion. So, and I would say the same thing to some extent within the SEC. Texas A&M is the second best team in the SEC. Everyone would have loved to see Texas A&M play Georgia in the SEC championship. That didn't happen because Texas A&M just didn't get it done. But that whole process, they're not putting a conference champion in there.
Okay.
So that to me is fine. And then you get the, you know, you expose the ACC for the sham. But I think more than 12 to me stretches the taffy too
big. I agree.
And it's not going to be a team that really competes.
How about this? Just get the 12 best. How about literally just say, we're not doing any TV shows and we're not keeping a seat for the group of five. They can go fuck themselves. Joel Klatt says that whole set aside was just to avoid litigation. Fine. Litigate. That's why you have lawyers. They have lawyers. Fight it out in court. Fuck you. You
it was
aren't
also created when the Pac-10 existed.
Okay.
So when they said five.
Right. Yeah. So it's all messed up anyway. So I say, let the lawyers hash it out. It's not basketball where a mid-major or a Cinderella has a puncher's chance with a three-point line of creating an upset and winning a game or two, maybe. It ain't that. It's football. And so realize that, accept that, and tell everyone who's not in the Power Four to go fuck themselves. That's step number one. Step number two, get rid of the TV shows because they're just nonsense. And then the last step is when the season's over, have the committee go, here's the 12 teams. And if they had done that this year, BYU and Notre Dame would have been in, and I wouldn't have had all these nasty exchanges with Chris, who I love dearly. And the bracket would be better because these two games, the JMU game and the Tulane game, they're going to suck. Like,
well, and JMU, well,
we said that last year about the Arizona State Texas game too. We were all like, Arizona State, no, I don't know about this game, and that was the only good first round game.
I didn't say that, Miller, because Arizona State punches economically with their program strength and donations and money and budget on par with anybody in the P4. JMU and Tulane do not. All right, Miller, your preferred playoff system.
I went through this last night. I am a 20-team playoff guy. I've been radicalized into believing 20.
Who radicalized you? Some deep Reddit thread?
This season. I'm tired of the bitching. I just cannot handle the conference stands. Just being, can I do have to just quick. The whole Notre Dame should just join a fucking conference already conversation is the dumbest conversation, because ask BYU how that went for them. And we are less than a year away from last season during the playoff. Everyone on ESPN tut-tutting Indiana for making the playoff, a team who has been in the Big Ten since before 1900. So, like, a conference won't save Notre Dame from this ever happening again. So, anyways. But no, I am a 20-team playoff guy. Wow. I am a champion of every conference gets in.
How many conferences? Are there 12?
10.
10?
There are 10.
Oh, my God. You're going to have some scrub-ass teams in there.
Yeah. And then you have a March Madness-style tournament, which is what people want.
Are there buys in your 20-team bracket? Who gets a bye?
There are buys. The first 8 teams get a bye.
Wow.
So the first round.
6 versus 6 in the first round. The bottom 12 play each other.
The top 8. Yes. No, pardon me. The top 4 get byes. Okay. Sorry, I misread my diagram here.
Okay.
Goodness.
It's got a diagram. Top 4 get byes, and then everyone else plays in the first round.
Yeah. So you'd have the MEAC champ. The Ivy
MEAC
champ,
is college basketball. That's I don't even know the MEAC.
Oh, these are FCSs. Too. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so you would have the Mid American, you'd have the Sun Belt, the AAC, Conference USA, Mountain West, along with the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC. Those are your 12 right there.
The Pac-2. Well, and they're going to become the Pac-8 or 10 next year.
Yes, so. They are. Okay.
So, like, if you had that this year, your automatic qualifiers would have been Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, Tulane, James Madison, Duke, Boise State, Western Michigan, Kennesaw State, and Washington State. But that's because literally there's only two teams in that conference.
All right. Does your 20 add one extra week to the format or two?
I believe it just adds one.
Believe? You better fucking know. You come to us with a cockamamie idea. You better have this down, Johnson. Coming to the board of directors here with your stupid plan. Get that shit straight, squared away. Okay, so and then who determines the at-larges with your many undeserving conference champs?
A ratings committee that is led by a true computer algorithm situation.
Is one of those first 8 games that popped on pool?
Could be.
Yeah, absolutely.
A true...
Maybe I'm in.
We've reborn the bowl system into the playoff.
Do you know, Miller, you just said a true computer algorithm situation.
Mm-hmm.
That was exactly
Sounds like the Gambletron 3000.
Right.
Were we up? Listen, It is so weird to 20 years after throwing double birds at the BCS forever, being like, please give me the BCS again. Don't give me this guy going on TV every week being like, well, actually, the head-to-head didn't matter because we put two teams between the two, and you can't judge them head-to-head because there were two teams there. Who knows where they came from? But also schedules matter, but also they don't matter. And also the conference championship, you should be punished for losing, but not punished if you're Alabama.
Listen, like, you're not wrong about any of this. These asshats on the committee are the worst. They suck. They're liars. They're professional liars. Saying
Notre Dame was not quite as athletic, even though they went into Arkansas and boat raced his team up and down the field, so they fired the coach in week six.
Yeah.
So I look at this, and I wanted to see where a 20 team with 10 at-larges, where that cuts off this season. And that cuts off at Texas and Vanderbilt. BYU, Notre Dame, and Texas get in. Vanderbilt, Utah, and USC are out. Is anyone upset?
Yeah, if you've got 20 teams and Vandy is still out, your plan sucks.
They're the 21st best team. Sorry, dude.
No, they're not. No, because
Houston was 21, according to the
They're not the 21st best because you're adding all these scrub conferences. I cannot get on board with your scrub conference idea.
You need a collection of characters here, Zabe. You can't just have all the blue bloods. You can't just have all. You need Cinderellas in this story.
But there are no Cinderellas in football.
There's no Cinderellas in football, and they don't spend.
That's part of the reason why it's not that fun, is it? And you say that, but what if?
Well, it's only
Was Appalachian State a Cinderella when they beat Michigan all those years ago? What a fun time that was!
Yeah.
Well, that's one game.
One game. Anecdotal, Matt. Picks one game out of the hat of, you know, a great upset.
There are wild upsets that happen every season, and they make things exciting. Why would we not want that?
Well, they might do it once, and then they're going to get curb stomped by Georgia or Oregon.
That's fine.
That's not fine.
Does that make you upset about March Madness? Do you watch March Madness in the first weekend, and you're like, oh, I can't believe I've had to watch St. Peter's pull off a miracle. This sucks.
That's a different sport. That's a different sport, Miller. You can't do that with football. I don't know why you don't get that.
Why?
Because, okay, I'm going to send you a list.
You're going to say because, oh, they have more money, and oh my gosh, that's every league, Zabe. Okay. That's the war. That's baseball. That's basketball.
It's more
that's
money.
Premier League soccer.
But it's more money and it's more players. You know how many guys are on the court at a time in basketball? It's half of what football is. And the rosters are 1/10 the size. Maybe not 1/10, but they're 1/6 the size. So the Cinderella aspect of it just will not exist in football, no matter how much your beautiful, nostalgic heart wants it to be, Miller. And I do appreciate that you are such...
Well, then you're going to lose. Like, then all these teams are not going to play. Like, why would a Power 5 team play? Why play college football?
Because what they need something to do on Saturdays, they got to fill their Saturdays. Why does Division II and Division III
something play? To break up the drinking on Saturdays?
They do their own fucking playoff afterwards. I mean, they'll figure it out. We're not concerned about them. I love your purism and your dream, Miller. It's not going to work. Nobody's calling for what you're calling for. Just so you know, that, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm the first person to bring this up. Yeah. There's definitely not 20 and 2014 playoff brackets out in the internet. No, you're right. This is the first time.
Kidder, you're on them internets a lot. Have you seen a lot of groundswell for Miller?
I've not seen a lot of call for more than what is
existing. The SEC and the Big Ten have brought this up like for you guys.
Well, the FCS 2014.
Like the big conferences have called for an expanded tournament. What are you talking about?
No,
are we doing here?
Yeah, but not the way you have it with Kennesaw State being in.
Right. They don't. Yeah. Right. No,
Western
they don't,
Michigan.
They don't want the scrubs in. They don't want to give. They don't want to give Kennesaw State a full share of the money from this thing. But anyway, let me get Gitter on record, and then we'll put this.
That is my pitch, and I think people would have a lot of fun with it.
Well, I'm glad you think that. You curl up at night with that thinking.
I will.
Miller, Gitter, what would you do?
I think it's perfectly fine as is currently constituted. You know, if they just avoided, to your point, the show for 5 weeks and then they dropped in, this is the final 12, it would be fine because there'd be no consternation over why is Miami in instead of Notre Dame, or why is Al? It would be done. It would just be like, this is it. Done. Go. Move on.
But do you think the committee should still exist, though?
Yeah.
And then there's a problem. If the committee exists, there's a problem. If you say the system's just fine right now, to me, the system's not fine. Kick out the little guys. Don't do the TV show.
Yeah, no, I think I'm fine with the best 12, right? So if you took the final, the college football rankings with the top 12, it would be fine. I don't need to see JMU. Let JMU play the Division III winner and see if they can beat them.
Man, you gonna take that, Broussard? Him dissing your alma mater?
I mean, the whole call for them moving from the FCS to the FBS is we just want to go to a bowl.
Right.
That was later. All the fans want. We want to go to the bowl. We want to be in a bowl. We qualified for a bowl. We didn't qualify for a bowl last year. That was, and they ended up going back to Fresno where they went 4 years in a row, essentially, play in the FCS championship. It's like, tell them what they've won. Another trip to FCS for an exhibition game instead of a playoff game. But, this year's JMU team, I don't think is as good as the one from last year or the year before. I think that's going to be exposed. But, part of me just says, you know what? Get rid of the committee. Just let ESPN decide. That's who decided this year anyway. So,
congratulations to Michigan and USC on their playoff entries. Is that a serious thing,
Broussard? You would let ESPN handle it? Or you'd be
They did this year, so why? What I mean?
So that's a petulant answer. That's not a genuine feeling.
I mean, to me, I would say, can you put together a committee of coaches?
But there are coaches on the committee, so yeah.
And we
who
have
knows
coaches,
how much
we have a coaches poll already.
But you have current athletic directors, and you have a coaches poll, and you have an AP poll. So create an algorithm, go back to the PCS, but expose it and show like this is what it is, and the teams know where they're ranking, they know where they stand. Yeah, that goes back to the whole outrage of this was Notre Dame was told where this is where you stand until they didn't.
Right. Well, the terms changed.
Yes,
they did. No, what happened? What happened was Notre Dame, which was a 50,000 mile per year Delta premium member, got bumped from a flight, a very important flight, and they're pissed. They're like, "Fuck you, Delta!" And
which is ironic. If you go to the final coaches poll, Notre Dame was ranked ahead of Miami.
Right. Yes,
yeah. Notre Dame is better than Miami right now. They're a good team. I don't know if you had
Notre Dame's better than both in the Miami.
Do you think this Notre Dame team had enough to win it all?
I do. Okay. And I think if Notre Dame played Miami today, I was at the Miami Notre Dame game.
Humble brag.
And I don't know what in the world they were doing. They said, "Oh, Miami stopped the running game." No, Notre Dame
didn't do a running game.
Standing there, sitting there in a stance. Literally, the entire Notre Dame section was like, "Is Love hurt? Why are they not using him? Why are they optioning him out of the backfield?"
Such a weird game.
Time. It was bizarre. So, it was not. Yeah, I think this year's Notre Dame team was better than last year's.
Hey, Al Baldo here. And as you know, I threw in the towel on the whole hair battle a long time ago. But you know what? For a lot of you out there, this can be a stressful process. You're looking in the mirror every day, watching it happen, wondering what actually works and what is just snake oil. Well, here's the thing. You shouldn't have to rearrange your life to figure this out on your own. Hims makes it simple. Through Hims, you get 100% online access to personalized treatment plans with doctor-trusted ingredients that actually work, like finasteride and minoxidil. We're talking chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. These ingredients can help stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. No awkward doctor visits, no hidden fees or surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule that puts your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/ Zabe for your online free visit. That's hims.com/CharlieZulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Future products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/CharlieZulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, I just have to ask you this, Broussard, because I cannot believe you and other Notre Dame people really believe it. Do you believe ESPN doesn't like Notre Dame? Doesn't want Notre Dame? ESPN?
There is a bump in the Big Ten media contract that if Notre Dame joins, there is a dollar figure that that value of that contract goes up.
Right. For Fox.
All of this, oh, if Notre Dame just joins a conference, it is tied to that. ESPN makes more money. NBC makes more money. Everybody makes more money if Notre Dame joins a conference. And so that is the only reason. Like, what does Notre Dame gain by that? They gain $3 million a year by joining a conference. And there is zero guarantee because the conferences are no longer conferences.
I know.
They're 18-team conglomerates that play an unbalanced schedule. Indiana was lucky last year to get in because they went undefeated because they had the weakest Big Ten schedule.
Right.
This year they played a strong and they still got in.
Okay, so
they're a better team than they were, although Notre Dame crushed them last year.
So you believe this was the ESPN's power play to try to nudge you guys into a conference, which would be a nominal windfall for ESPN. I mean, a rounding error in the giant.
I think that
bucket.
Was in it, but I think there was also the calculus. We cannot keep Alabama
out. Right, the ESPN had to serve their primary master, which is the SEC. And they had to bump somebody, and because the ACC fucked everything up. Like, they're the ones that ruined Thanksgiving dinner. The ACC.
Jeopardized the entire operation.
They thank you. To use casino terms, yes, you jeopardized.
Can't trust them.
Can't have it. Either way, either you are in on this, ACC,
or he's stupid.
Or you're too stupid to notice it. Either way, I can't have it. Well, is there anything I could do for my cousin, the ACC, to maybe keep him in the fold? Nope, can't do it. Sorry, can't do it. Jeopardizes the whole operation. All right.
I wonder what Florida State and Clemson are thinking right now about the ACC.
Yeah.
That has to be, I think that's part of the reason why they made this decision, right? Like, it's far easier to upset Notre Dame than it is to upset 18 schools in the ACC, right? Like, well, I think that was part of the thinking here.
And the SEC, you're going to piss off the SEC and the commissioner by keeping Alabama out, and you're going to piss off the ACC by having nobody. And, you know, what's Notre Dame going to do?
All right. I do love Notre Dame for its iconic status on the college football landscape, the pageantry, the tradition, everything about it. I just wish you guys would maybe have acted in a more grown-up fashion. but I understand you're hurt. So
I think they did.
I know you did.
Yeah. Why weren't they acting like adults and going to the Pop-Tarts bowl?
Right.
Listen.
Why weren't they just being told what they was supposed to do?
Because you're not special.
Oh, that's where you're wrong.
Oh, that one landed.
Just think if they came out with a custom Pop-Tart Notre Dame
right there, didn't it?
Oh. Gold frosting, green Pop-Tart.
that would be sick, actually.
It was a Guinness Pop-Tart.
You know they made that, and now that maybe that's why they invited Georgia Tech was because they had the gold.
They already had the gold frosting ready to go.
And they awkwardly had to change the N and D into a G and a T.
Georgia Tech or Navy. It was either Georgia Tech or Navy.
All right. Hey, I want to try this real quick. Let's see if I can add a video. There we go. Four people on stage here. So there was an interesting point, believe it or not, made on the Pat McAfee show, which is not often, but every now and then. I am a hater. I mean, kind of a hater. Hey, just clap it up. Yeah. Hey, man, way to go. Yeah.
Jordan Love was on today on the McAfee show. It was great.
Good. So the point they were making was how it was Bavacqua Broussard who went out there to talk all the shit because their coach, Freeman, is super well-liked. And so you don't want Marcus Freeman doing the dirty work and taking out the trash. Here he was.
Something awesome happened on Thursday or Friday of last week where Miami and Notre Dame put their swords down against each other and just started attacking Alabama. That was fun to watch.
Well, there was a time, though, where the ACC was just attacking Notre Dame.
That was happening, too. Yeah.
And Pete Pavakwa, AD of Notre Dame this morning on Dan Patrick, was like, I can't believe they did that. We are like one of their biggest business partners. Just an all-out assault on us. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it sounded like coming out of Bavakwa.
Oh, that's what he said. What did he say? Like it was.
We were mystified.
Permanent damage to the relationship.
Permanent damage. Oh, you want to fuck us? Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Love it.
I do too. Yeah. I also enjoy how active he has been in this entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know him, so that is a little bias, I guess. I'm not represented by him or his agent, which we learned on College Game Day.
Yeah.
We were all learning that in real time on who was whose agent. It was kind of a fun little game.
Bullshit.
It was kind of a fun little game. I actually, yes. Me, I'm not. Me neither. And then Dez. I think I've been pretty rude through this entire thing to this guy. That's basically what Dez said of there. It was crazy. But I like the way Bavakwa has been operating. You can tell he loves Notre Dame. Not that these other places don't, but it's like the Notre Dame people coming together, it's a good time for a fight. Every once in a while, you need a good, rally call to kind of bring everybody together. Not saying it's a good outcome, but I'm saying it has been a good, I like good positive sign of force, you know, that the Notre Dame fans and faithful have shown.
It's also cool that he's carrying the shield. Like, you don't expect Marcus Freeman to go do any of this bullshit. Yeah. Like, it's almost as if he kind of looked around like.
No, you would expect Marcus Freeman to do this bullshit is what you mean, right?
No, I don't know if I've really ever seen him do interviews in general.
Let's keep Marcus Freeman
clean. That's what I'm saying. I think
a baby face.
I think it's a conscious decision to keep Marcus Freeman clean because it's like Coach Cristobal was on TV right over there. There's been a couple other coaches that have had to speak. Feels like Notre Dame has been like, we don't need the most likable fucking coach we've ever had in history out there, right? Nope. Who was going to do it then? Bavakwa was like, I'll fucking. What do we need? We're better than everybody? You got it. Where do you want me to go? Everywhere.
That's good. That's McAfee at his best. However, Gitter, I got to ask you a question. So what's McAfee's take on this? What's his opinion?
Oh, he thinks the whole thing, that it came down to Alabama, and that Alabama probably shouldn't be there, even though he sits right next to Coach Saban every week on game day.
You sure he thinks that? Because if the more you watch McAfee, the more you'll realize, he never takes a stand on anything.
100%.
Am I right, Miller?
100%. That's why he's the most liked man in sports media, is because the man has.
Well, he plays both sides, is really what he does.
He plays any side. He plays Pat McAfee's side.
He stands on the sideline, bro clapping, everything.
Yeah.
He never plants a flag on. This is right. This is wrong. This is what I think. Come at me, bro. And that's worked great for him. It's worked great for him. It's like you said, Miller. It's why he's the most liked man in sports media. And he's made a shit ton of money. But I'm just talking from
the most insane sports figure in the world. And Pat McAfee will be like, I'll give you a good interview.
right. I'm just saying, as a consumer of vibrant, interesting sports-related talk, I find him to be lacking in sort of a, I don't know. Like, I want to know what he thinks.
Yeah, he's not, you're right, he's not very deep. I will give
you
that.
His college game day appearances, ever since they've become... Ever since they've become the Pat McAfee show versus the Lee Corso kind of portion,
right.
It's after about week three or four, you were like, oh, Pat McAfee has like two tricks. And like, it's like he takes shirt off the shirt, off. He yeah. does the song,
he you stands know, he on the fight chair, song, does the fight
chooses the home team. Like, if they're going to continue making him the centerpiece of that show, he's going to have to become more dynamic.
Will he?
You know, he can't just...
Lee Corso ran that pencil trick out a long way, and that mascot head trick a long way. I think McAfee's act is going to last a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because the kids that watch that show, they're not too sophisticated. They want to see what they want to see. I just really would like to know, Broussard, who ensures that field goal contest, because they're giving second tries, third tries. They're letting ringers stand in for the people that actually win the chance to kick the ball. Like, there's no way it's coming out of his bank account. I just don't believe that. Absolutely. All right. Broussard, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for your time, my friend. And we are, as always, great friends still, I hope.
For now.
We're good enough friends for now.
Raise his fees, Broussard. Take more money from him.
Go Dukes.
Go Dukes, exactly.
What if James Madison beats Oregon this
year? There's no chance.
Zero chance.
What if it happens?
Zero chance.
I love that you want to believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, Miller.
What is one of the key essential fairy phrases of football? Any given Sunday.
That's the NFL. That's the NFL's phrase. I'm now yelling at you, Miller.
I know, but like the point of sports is that anything can happen. And I know the money is slanted, but Leicester City shouldn't have a Premier League title then. You know, like crazy. The Brewers shouldn't have made the NL championship. Like the point of sports is to believe that something crazy can happen. So why would we not want to arrange something crazy happening?
Yeah, what if I get to date Sydney Sweeney?
Could happen.
Eric, you got to believe. You got to believe.
I'm not, because I have a wonderful girlfriend, and I would not take that option.
Nice save.
If you had a chance at Sydney Sweeney and your girl knew about it, Julie, she'd dump you if you didn't take that chance, because she'd be so insulted. That's how cool a chick she is. She'd be like, you had a shot with her and said no? You loser. We're not boyfriend girlfriend anymore. All right, can I get some things real quick on the Monday night game? It was a hell of a game, lots of fun. I think there was like 9 turnovers, might have been 15 turnovers. I can't even keep track. There's a bunch of turnovers.
Well, Jalen Hurts had 2-on-1 play. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mike Wazowski was a beast in the running game.
Yeah, the Monsters, Inc. This is the sequel. What number Monsters, Inc. is this movie going to be?
I think this will be 3.
Okay. That's interesting that franchise, they haven't pulled the taffy as far as I thought they would for Monsters, Inc.
I think even the last movie was pulling the taffy a little too far.
But that's only 2 installments of a popular kids animated movie, Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, there wasn't that much taffy to begin with there.
Okay, whatever. So in the game, there was a 3-turnover play. Hurts throws an interception. The big fat lineman for the Chargers fumbles it. Hurts gets it back, then he fumbles it, and the ball belongs to the Chargers. I think I saw a stat that said Hurts is the first player in NFL history to throw an interception and fumble on the same play. My question is, has there ever been a 4-turnover play in NFL history?
Ooh.
I'm looking up to see if there's ever been a quadruple
anyway, that's one to think about right there. I loved it. It reminded me of some of the old NFL films, Low Lights, the bloopers reel, where the ball is just ping-ponging around all these bodies, and it's usually on a shitty field that's muddy and slippery and wet, and guys are diving on it and everything else. That was fun to watch.
No four turnover on one play.
Okay.
Not finding evidence.
Okay. After the game, Justin Herbert, who is playing with a bad hand on his non-throwing hand, surgically repaired on Wednesday of last week.
Yeah, it's a non-throwing hand. Doesn't need it.
Miracles of science.
Yes. He was allegedly rude to Laura Rutledge by some people's account. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and then you can tell me if you found it to be quote-unquote rude of him to say, yeah, I'm trying to celebrate with my teammates right now. Here is the video in question, and all right, add to stage. Hold on. Where did it go?
Also, I hate to, while we're pulling for time here, Marcus Freeman is apparently being eyed by the New York Giants.
Why would you take
that job?
He's got the collars already, so.
Giants, not Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then, okay. Yeah, no, don't leave.
Here you go.
There that sealed this game for you guys to get this win?
Yeah, the defense played incredible. You know, they came up with so many big stops today, so so proud to be able to play for those guys, and the way they compete down in, down out is really fun to watch.
We know you were dealing with the broken hand tonight. You gutted it out. You were hit multiple times. How are you feeling right now?
Feel pretty good, thank you.
And then what can you say about the way that this team was able to pull this off in overtime? You guys know how important this game was and how good the opponent was on the other side.
Yeah, not the way we drew it up, but the battle in these guys, you know, it's so much fun, and I'm so honored to be a part of this team, and they never quit, and, you know, it's just fun to be a part of, and we'll watch the film and have to get better at it. Appreciate it, man. You too. But we'll have to get better at it, and we'll keep moving forward.
All right, thank you, Justin.
Yep, thank you.
Joe.
Oh, the horrors. What a dick. I mean, why are people caping up? I mean, Laura Rutledge is lovely, by the way. She does a great job, even though the questions were fairly anodyne. Am I using that word correctly?
How do you feel about winning?
Yeah. Is it cool that you won or what?
I got to say, you know who? I think Justin Herbert comes off incredible in that video because the way he like locks in to like the script of
as
like
soon, oh, yeah.
quarterback, as you see
had,
him just like.
It he all of them. Yeah.
He like locks in and it's just like, yeah, you know, like,
yeah, the defense there, played great tonight. It was really a lot of fun watching them do what they do out there, helping to contribute to a team win, man. I'm just so proud and thankful we got a defense like that. Boom. Right
like
out of the
Manchurian
game.
Candidate stuff. His eyes go from being annoyed that she is bothering him to like, I have my script ready. Perfect. Ready to go. I'm a professional. I'm amazed we don't get more of these kind of interactions, honestly. Like, it's like the Cam Newton post-Super Bowl thing where it's like, I can't believe a guy was surly after losing the biggest game of his life. You know, like, why do we expect these players after this heated game to be, like, perfectly like, oh, yes, let me talk to you about tensions in the Middle East and how I would solve the... Like, why do we expect them to be immediately like... It's just silly to me. That of course he's going to be a little mad that a reporter's trying to interrupt him while he's trying to be like, hell yeah, we beat the champs. We beat the Eagles. Like, I'm trying to celebrate here, and now I got to answer, you know, how does my hand feel?
Well, there's always certain men in media that are quick to cape up for a woman to score these imaginary points of, oh, you're so chivalrous. And I love it when they get clapped with, bro, she's married. Just so you know.
I don't even know if it's as much the gender thing as much as it is like sports media.
No, it's gender. No, it's fucking gender. They're not doing this to Peter Schrager.
No,
trust me.
They do this all the time. Whenever somebody in the media gets like a cold shoulder from somebody, all of them are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would disgrace the good name of sports media like this. And it gets a little overly defensive.
Yeah, you want to see rude. I'll give you rude. This is WNBA star Kelsey Plum.
All right, Kelsey, let's start with defense. You held the Fever just 13 first quarter points. What do you like about the way your team came out on that side of the ball? I don't know. Come back to me later. It seemed low every time the Fever got back into the game. Your team found the response. How? They have good players?
She missed the Manchurian Candidate style training that Herbert got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Or Will Ferrell from the campaign. You know.
But again, this is part of the job. You know, this is just the job. It's the cushiest job ever. They don't make a ton of money for media standards, but probably $150, $250, something like that. And they only have to ask a couple questions afterwards. And many of them still suck at asking questions. Tell me how you feel. What does it mean? How will this...
It just means more.
It just means more. I mean, it's just whatever.
Would the game be better if we just eliminated
Sideline
Reporter stuff?
No.
Why? What do they do?
They're hot.
Okay, great. But you're still watching the game.
I want the spice. I want the sprinkles on top. To me, they're the sprinkles on top of my cupcake. I like them, and if they're going to pay for them, let's have them and make them beautiful, capable, smart women who ask good enough questions. Like,
just have your third screen have some videos that will give you the spice that you're looking for.
I want it in my cupcake that is football. I want it as part of the package. In fact, I get mad when there's a man.
He wants the funfetti confetti.
I don't want the funfetti. In fact, I get mad when there's a man on the sidelines. I'm like, ugh. It's like, you know what? It is Gitter's like having a male cart drink guy, which sometimes courses have to do because they're short on personnel. And by the way, their sales of alcohol plummet when there's a dude slinging Coors Lights. It's a proven phenomenon at golf courses. So yes, and don't you think that Jenny, what's her name from Big
Taft?
Ten? Jenny Taft, the All-American girl. Tell me she doesn't just eat up the camera lens, that she was not made to be on TV with that beautiful smile and the radiant blue eyes and that Midwest sensibility and accessibility. I mean, she's the bomb. I love her. She's great.
Between defending bowl games and defending sideline reporters, I'm waiting for you to defend the appendix next. Like you were just defending
and
the most
tonsils.
Needless parts of everything right now.
You know, we could do a segment in future podcasts called I Will Die on That Hill. You want to do that?
Sure.
Next week, let's do I'll Die on That Hill, and each of us can bring one thing that is unpopular that you will say, I will die on this hill. You know, Gitter, for me, I like candy corn, and I
That's
like
terrible,
and I like good and plenty.
Candy corn good.
Yeah,
I mean, my God, both of you?
Candy corn good.
Oh, goodness.
Thank God I got one other soldier on the hill with me. The other thing about last night, I have to say this, and I don't know what the answer is. For those of you that watch this segment every week, please let me know. I'm staying up to watch Bad Beats, a Monday staple on Van Pelt Center with Scott Van Pelt and his buddy sidekick, Stanford Steve. And they're great, by the way, the two of them. I'm watching it, and they'd start the Bad Beats, and I was like, okay, here we go. Raiders-Broncos game. I can't wait to hear the histrionics that Van Pelt goes through and the octaves of insane, unbelievable outrage about the way that game ended. And he starts out with some, you know, small college football game. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Then there's a college basketball game where the total didn't hit. And I'm like, come on. Let's get to it here. Then there was like a overly long highlight package of some other college game in the Northeast that I'm just like, okay, what are we doing? And after that, it was like, and there it is, Bad Beats for this week. And I go, where the fuck was the Raider game? So my question is, does he ever do NFL games? And
I've never seen, I usually seek it out if I don't stay up, and I don't remember him doing any NFL games.
Has he disclosed?
It's usually a college game. It's usually a college basketball game. There's been a couple recently with like the over-under needed 4 points, and there's a double technical with 2 seconds ago, and the guy makes four free throws. But yeah, I haven't seen an NFL game.
Is
and
it
maybe
because the NFL's too obvious, or is it because,
or maybe they tell him he can't do
or
it,
or they give him like in the earpiece? They're like, no.
No, not
I think that's more likely.
No, they probably told him before the season, don't do our league.
Yeah, I believe it.
They gave him the playmakers treatment.
To me, there is no fucking way you leave off the Raider game as an all-time bad beat. I know it didn't have the long, drawn-out, like, in the way they do these bad beats, they like to pick
correct.
It up.
Correct. They set it up. They take a lot of time to set it up.
Right. They like to show a lot of things that keep going bad and snowballing. I get it. The bad beat for the Raider game happened pretty quick. It was just on the final drive. But it still was one of the worst beats ever. And as a follow-up to stuff I talked
unless
about yesterday.
Unless you had the Raiders.
Well, right. Then it was a good play. Then you're like, yep, had it all the time. No, you didn't. Pete Carroll tried to explain what he was trying to do. He said, look, we wanted to play to the end. I was hoping to get them to add a few seconds back on the clock, that if we kicked the field goal and there was time left, we could kick an onside kick, maybe recover, and then throw a Hail Mary. okay, bro, whatever. He said also he can't worry about what anyone says about it or what one person says about it, which obviously was a reference to Portnoy and his insane rant. Portnoy did backtrack, didn't really apologize. He said, okay, nobody really thought I meant murder Pete Carroll, like actually kill Pete Carroll. I mean, come on now. I thought in a day and age not so long ago, Miller, that would have earned good old Portnoy a suspension of some sort from something.
Yeah, except he owns the company.
Well,
other than
maybe Fox
being
would have
on
said,
Fox.
Or yeah. Fox might have but said, we're not going to have him on anymore. We can't condone this.
But the Fox season is over. And by the time
this
comes back in August, they're going to be like, oh, they're not even going to think they're going to, anybody's going to remember that? No chance.
And also, it's sparse. Everyone knows what the shtick is. Like, I don't think anyone on some level really genuinely thought he was calling for the murder of Pete Carroll, who also, speaking of which, Pete Carroll is a Galaxy brand enough guy to be like, yes, we were going to do the onside kick and the Hail Mary and all these 45 millions. Like, Pete Carroll has permanent college football coach brain. So, like, I can buy, of all the coaches in the NFL pulling that, I could buy Pete Carroll being like, there was hope. There was hope on that board.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the point is not reasonable people knew that Portnoy was not calling for it. It's the psychopaths who take guns out and say, oh, look what I'm going to do for my guy. It's the people in Philly who egged the house of Petullo, their OC.
Yeah.
By the way, it might not be the OC. If there is genuine calls now because of how Hurts is sucking ass in Philly. They're actually calling for Tanner fucking McKee. I listened to IP today. Those are not isolated calls. They're like, the offense is so bad right now with Hurts. What do we got to lose? Like, put McKee in and just see what happens.
The annual Eagles freakout has finally become official.
I know. All right, anything you guys want to add before we're done here? And I thank you for your time. We've gone very long today, but I appreciate it. Anything else you guys want to throw in there, Miller?
I didn't even know Tanner McKee was the backup quarterback there.
Oh yeah.
I'll just let people know that the Netflix Warner Brothers deal is bad. The Paramount Warner Brothers deal would be bad. The
Which
only
one
good
is
deal
worse?
Is no deal.
Okay.
The only good deal is no deal. There's literally no good deal.
Well, one of those two has to be worse than the other. Tell me which one. Netflix or Paramount?
It's so hard because one kills theatrical, the other one kills theatrical, and maybe a bunch of other stuff in the process. Like, it is a meteorite or falling into the sun. I cannot tell you which is a better thing to happen.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it gets rejected, but
I'm hoping so too, but those antitrust laws, those are fake books on a bookshelf, you know?
I mean, there have been deals that have been struck down in the last 10 years in business, various places. And some of the deals that people complained about in the first place that were not struck down turn out to be absolute anchors that sunk the entities. Like, remember the AOL Time Warner merger?
Oh, man.
People lost their shit over that.
That is a little bit of the funny thing with Warner Brothers, is because Warner Brothers has a tortured history of ownership. Like, they have been passed around Hollywood like mad. Like, they are the Lane Kiffin of Hollywood, where they have just been everywhere and kicked out of every club. But then you look at cases where, like, you go through and, like, Universal was owned by Seagram's Booze.
I saw that tweet today, and that... Paramount was owned by Coca-Cola, division of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it is the funny thing when you talk about the sanctity of these, you know, old studios, and then it's like, yeah, one was owned by Seagram's. They were basically the same thing as Crown Royal for a while. Like,
I just love Seagram's.
Yeah. It's just a very silly business that I've grown to love and may have to stop loving because it's all just becoming content for the maw.
Yeah, it's sad because someone made a good point, Miller, that they said, look, content is not movies. Movies are painfully, painstakingly crafted from the moment the first word goes on a piece of paper to capture and hold your attention. content, which is the age we're living in now, is meant to be on somewhere yep. in your vicinity.
It is a screensaver. And I think maybe that's what stresses me out the most is that, you know, when you hear someone call something, you know, Netflix original quality, or they say it looks like a streaming service, they don't say it in a good
no,
way.
Tis no, not one's a compliment.
Ever complimented a movie by saying that. Right. So the idea of Netflix now owning like 50% of Hollywood and crushing theatrical exhibition out of existence and being in charge of the legacies of 100 years worth of, you know, entertainment, it makes my soul die.
Yeah. Well, better days.
And on that note, bye.
Bye. All right, get her a club champion there in Mequon, Wisconsin, where it's going to be 0 degrees by the weekend. Go on in, hit some balls.
Yeah.
Get fit for new clubs for the new year. Spring will be right around the corner. It's a great Christmas gift to get people a fitted club.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, boys. That'll be it for today. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in and subscribing to the Zabecast. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. As I take your hand and lead you to the dance floor, as the music dies, something in your eyes calls to mind a silver screen, and all it said goodbye. I'm never gonna dance again.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.